God didn't provide the Bible to satisfy our idle curiosity about history, nor was it written for the clergy alone, so the preacher would have something to say on Sunday morning. The Bible was written to reveal God's sovereign plan and to explain our place in His redemptive story. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll delivers the first of 8 messages in a practical series called Searching the Scriptures. When these techniques are applied in our personal study, they can transform the way we understand the Bible. Chuck titled today's message, Choosing the Recipe, Pursuing the Treasures of Scripture.
There are promises, personal promises, to claim as a result of learning the Scriptures. God has made you and me promises that as a result of getting to know His Word, He will bless you in these ways. Let me show you some of the promises, the personal promises to claim. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 98. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Now look at the promise. Your commands, that would be God's word, make me wiser than my enemies. Here's a promise that you will have a wisdom above and beyond those who have it in for you, those who would say ugly words against you. And we all have people like that. Look at the next one, very next verse. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers. There's a second promise right here in this list of 3. Not only a wisdom greater than my enemies, but I'll have insight greater than my teachers. Listen to me. If you become a student of the Scriptures in your 30s, you'll be a leg up on anybody in their 60s and 70s when it comes to wisdom. And Job tells us great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged always understand judgment. When you get into the Scriptures on your own, you will begin to glean judgment. You'll begin to get wisdom and insight and understanding. Let me tell you the difference between the 3. It occurred to me that we use those words interchangeably, but they are not really interchangeable. Here we go. Wisdom is the ability to look at life as God looks at life. Wisdom helps us look at life as God looks at life. Insight is the ability to see through life's circumstances. It's the ability to see through life's circumstances. You've got the insight to see beyond the obvious or the apparent. Wisdom is the ability to look at life. Insight is the ability to see through life circumstances, and understanding is the ability to respond to life correctly. When you gain wisdom and you gain insight, the understanding that comes will give you a handle on handling life correctly. That's why it says, get wisdom, but in all your wisdom, get understanding. God's word, as you began to make a study of it, and teach yourself from it, will begin to give you these things. Now, let's wrap it up with these 5 ways we absorb the Scriptures. You got your outline as a place to put them down. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. All 5 are right here in Psalm 119. We click them off one after the other. We first absorb the Scriptures by hearing. We hear what God's Word says. It's the simplest, it's the easiest, it's the most common, it's the least energetic method of grasping the truth. Look at verse 24, for example. Verse 24, your laws please me, they give me wise advice. As you listen today to the teaching of God's word, you are hearing what will be for you a pleasant future. Psalm 130 comes to my mind. Look at that one. Psalm 119, 130 says, the teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. So we hear God's word. Remember Romans 10, 17, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we began to grasp and absorb by hearing it. It's what you're doing right now. Second, we can read it. Aren't we grateful that we've had teachers who have taught us to read? We can read the English sentences. Trust me, the Bible is not a conglomeration of mysterious, convoluted sentences. It is a book filled with sentences you can read. And from those statements, you can learn how to live differently than you have lived all your life. You can learn how to handle those that are difficult to be around. You can learn how to endure a divorce without being eaten up with bitterness or bruised by the scars of what led to that divorce. You can be guided through suffering. You can be stabilized when you get the X-ray or the response from the MRI from your physician who tells you he has some tough news for you. The Bible will stabilize you because you have been hearing it and you have begun to read it for yourself. Look at verse 18, Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. It's amazing. Haven't you been so tired at times that while reading, you read the same sentence 3, 4, 5 times, and you say, what's wrong with me? It's time to go to bed. I am exhausted. People read the Bible all the time, and 3 minutes later could not tell you what they just read. Why? Because you didn't really read it. You didn't really observe what you were reading. There are techniques to observing it. We're going to look at those next time. But we absorb the scriptures by reading it. Verses 89 through 93 talk about the same. Now, here's a third. We study it. There's a difference between hearing it, reading it, and studying it. You know what it is? It's the use of your fingers. It's the use of your brain. I learned years ago, thoughts disentangle themselves over the lips and through the fingertips. The disentangled thoughts of my mind regarding life, situations, struggles, loss, disappointment, discouragement, I've learned that I can disentangle those things if I dialogue about them, if I talk about them with someone who will really enter into that discussion with me, or if I write them out. I begin to study when I keep my own journal. I begin to write on these pieces of paper the very things that will help me get started, get underway. Francis Bacon put it like this: reading maketh a broad man, speaking a ready man, writing an exact man. When you begin to write down your thoughts, there may be questions that you have as you're reading. They may be observations. They may be a reference to another section of scripture you want to probe into. When you are beginning to study, when you begin to study, you get into things like background material, context, geography, other verses, probing questions, issues that aren't easily answered, some of the things in life that you wondered about. As you go work your way through the scriptures, you'll begin to dig those things out. So your study will yield the benefits of that. Here's the fourth, and here's where you really get fanatical. You memorize him. You memorize verses of the Bible. You're looking at me like, come on, Chuck. You know, I'm 62 years old. You're talking to me. Well, do you know your address? Do you know which is your car in the parking lot? If you don't, you really do have problems. But if you do, you've memorized something. Do you know your email address? Of course you do. Have you memorized the way to work? Of course you have. Don't tell me you cannot memorize. You don't want to memorize because you're lazy. I have other things to say, but I'll keep them till later. You memorize when you say it's worth the effort. I will benefit by committing this to memory. What else does it mean when it says, verse 13, I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. The psalmist says, when I've been keeping my father's sheep, I've been doing more than watching the woolies. I've been committing to memory verses from the Torah, from the scroll, committing it to memory. When you begin to treasure God's word in your heart, you will find that the darkness of your surrounding will be given light. The danger of your setting will be given a shield. The disaster of your situation as a result of the memorized word will rescue you from despair. Discouragement as a result of memorizing his word will be your refuge. Trust me, you will need certain verses committed to memory. As you hear them, as you read them, as you study them, you then find certain ones, not all of them, of course not. Not even a whole book. You don't need to do that. You can, but it isn't essential. But certain verses that have guided you and led you into a path that you needed to go, that's a verse you need to commit to memory. And you memorize them one at a time. I've heard people who knew hundreds of verses, and almost without exception, when I asked, how did you do that? They said one verse at a time, one line at a time. You read it, you repeat it, you repeat it, you write it on a card, you take it with you, you put it under the glass at your desk, you put it on the visor of your car, you have it available in your kitchen, where you do the dishes, where you prepare the meals, at the table where you eat. You're looking at verses. My mother was a master at this. She challenged me when I was growing up. Boy, if there's anything I needed, it was a challenge. She said, I'll tell you what, son, for every verse you learn, I'll learn two. I thought, well, I'm going to memorize you under the table. And I'd memorize six, she'd memorize 12. I'd memorize a chapter, she'd memorize two chapters. I'd memorize several chapters, she'd memorize the book. I thought, this is a bad deal. This is not working for me. Am I grateful today she challenged me to do that? I can't tell you. Every verse I've memorized, I've used. Every verse I've not memorized and needed, I didn't have available. So let me charge you now to think seriously about becoming a student of the memorized sections of Scripture that you need. And what you will need, she won't need. What I may need, he won't need. So this is a very personal thing. We memorize. Now, I've come to one of my favorites, the fifth of the five. Meditate. Psalm 119, verse 15 states, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. That's meditation. Verse 23, even princes sit and speak against me, but I will meditate on your decrees. I'm not going to worry about what people say against me. God takes care of these things. How do I know? Because I've chewed over God's word. I've blended it with the a mind that God's given me. I've moistened it with other thoughts. I mean, we're so far removed from the farm, we forget the cow who brings up the cud, starts to chew again. I often wonder what that tastes like. Sometime I belch up something I've thought of before, and then I will chew on it, and I missed it the other three times, even if it was memorized. But because I poured over it and blended it deeply into my brain, it began to make sense. Let me tell you something. That is the way to go to sleep at night. That is the way to wake up in the morning. Don't tell me how tough you've got it. You know, cry me a river. You're surrounded by, we've all been shot. We've all got our needs. We're all broken people. But to fix the break, you need the power of the living, revealed word of God. And until you get into it, you're just going to be eating my meals. And I don't know what you really need. I can hit the big spots, the big scene, but I can't give you, you know, those details you really need, because I don't know where you are. I often say to people when they say to me, you've been looking in my keyhole. I said, no, I don't look in keyholes. Let me tell you what I do. I just preach on things I need to hear, and I let you listen in. Now, I really mean that. I need to hear everything that's been said today. I need the reminder of the value of God's word. What a treasure. Now, here are the techniques that will reveal for us the scriptures. Right quick. Here, there are four of them. Write them down, or you won't remember them. This is part of your study. Number one, observation. Observation answers, what does the Bible say? Observation is seeing what the Bible says. You're not answering questions. You're not adding something through your imagination. You're just reading words on the page. Observation. Seeing what the Bible says. The second is interpretation. Learning what the Bible means. These verses mean something. And when tied together with other verses, they mean even more. You're going to learn some techniques of interpretation. You won't have to rely on my interpreting it. You can do it yourself. The third is correlation. Correlation. C-O-R-R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Correlation, where you compare this verse with that verse. That's why you need a concordance. This verse with those verses. And by seeing what Psalm 119 says about God's word, what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says makes all the more sense than ever. And what 2 Timothy 3 says causes Joshua 1:8 to come to life as these verses are blended together. You're going to learn how to do that as a result of our time together. Fourth, the crowning part of all is application. Application. Correlation is realizing what the Bible says elsewhere. Application is putting the Bible to use in everyday life. Your decisions, your struggles, your finances, your relationships, your home and family, your gains, your losses, your leadership, your forgiveness, your struggle, all of that, that's dealt with in the application and hundreds of other subjects. I began this message by talking about the importance of preparing your own spiritual meals. I want you to be here for every one of our sessions, not because we need a crowd. It's not about that. It's because you need the truths, and if you miss one of them, you're going to miss a major part of how the whole pattern fits together. And by the way, aren't we grateful we have our own Bible in our own language? You imagine trying to read this in a Greek? How about in Spanish or Russian? You've got it in English. You know why? Because people gave their lives that it would come to us in English. There was a time when that was against the law, even in the land of England, where the Bible was to be chained to a pulpit, handled only by the clergy. And some of the clergy could read it only in Latin. And who are you? Just lay people. And along came a guy named John Wycliffe. After that, William Tyndale. Listen to William Tyndale's story very briefly. He was an early English reformer. Lived in 1494 to 1536. He saw there was a great ignorance of the scriptures among the people around him. It would be impossible to change that unless the scriptures in his word were plainly laid before their eyes in their mother tongue, wrote William Tyndale. The printing of his first New Testament was begun 1525, though it was against the law. Police raids stopped the work. He had to then work in secret. He finished the following year, where he then began to write commentaries on Old and New Testament books. His output was so impressive, taking into consideration the conditions under which he worked, a shipwreck, a loss of manuscripts, secret agents chasing after him, numerous police raids on his printer, betrayal by many friends, All of this was daunting, but his quality remained high. He was determined. He pioneered the English Bible translations. His style was lucid, crisp, and concise. Above all, he appealed to ordinary people for its down-to-earth character. His literary work, however, was never universally respected or recognized by the elite. Ultimately, he was arrested near the city of Brussels. He was imprisoned in 1535. The following year, he was strangled to death. His body was burned to ashes. Let's get rid of Tyndale. We'll get rid of this English Bible. On the contrary, he who is dead still speaks. You have a Bible because Tyndale gave his life that you might have it in your language. The least we can do is learn it. Okay? I want to teach you how to use it so that you can prepare your own meals. Father, thank you for the privilege of your word. Thank you for the joy of discovering it. Guide us into it, we pray, as we glean from it truth to live by, truth to die by. Teach us through your warnings. Warn us through your commands. Encourage us with hope through your promises. And prepare us for a life that will include difficulties, trials, hardships, but none of them impossible, because you have made our way clear through your word. Teach us, our Father, to love your word like the psalmist. Show us the value of it as Paul saw in it. May we find comfort in it like Peter, hounded by guilt, but delivered by truth. And may we see the ultimate end of it all through the eyes of John, who in the Revelation wrote, "Blessed is the one who hears and reads the words of this prophecy." Keep us faithful, our Father, as we come with Bible in hand, anxious to learn the truths of what you have preserved for us today. In the name of Christ, we pray this. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living, and the first message in Chuck Swindoll's classic series called Searching the Scriptures. And of course, if you've missed any portion of this message and want to catch up, you can hear Chuck's teaching on our mobile app or by simply listening to the audio right from our website. All these features are explained at insightworld.org. Well, we're pleased to offer a brand new book from Chuck called What If God Has Other Plans? Unlike many of Chuck's writings, this book is topical in nature, but like every one of his books, it's squarely based on biblical teaching. All chapters answer a relevant question, such as, what if someone kicks you when you're down? Or what if you need a second chance? Chuck's new book is our thank you gift to anyone who steps forward today to become a monthly companion. Becoming a monthly companion isn't complicated, and you set the amount that's best for you. In any case, it's one of the best ways to leverage your personal investment because your contributions have a compounding effect over the course of 1 year. So when you give your first gift as a monthly companion, we'd be happy to send Chuck's new book, What If God Has Other Plans? If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or you can sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. By the way, if you're already a monthly companion and you're willing to increase your monthly gift, we'd like to send a copy of Chuck's book to your home as well. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
I will never forget the first time Cynthia and I drove around the bend and we saw the holy city for the very first time. It literally took our breath away.
And now you can see Jerusalem for yourself with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
My first trip to Israel was much later in life than it should have been. I've never regretted that journey or any of those that followed. In fact, I wish it had all happened sooner.
Imagine hearing the Bible teaching you've come to respect on Insight for Living on location in Israel. Call 888-447-0444.
No pastor, no follower of Christ should ever pass up an opportunity to see and to touch and to fall in love with the very places where biblical history unfolded.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Searching the Scriptures, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Choosing the Recipe, Pursuing the Treasures of Scripture, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.